Thanks for joining in on Wisconsin Public Radio News. Larry Mueller here. I don't know about you, but I'm hoping it doesn't rain tomorrow on the 4th of July for a lot of reasons. But one of those reasons is I don't like grilling in the wet, in the rain. And I'll do it anyway because it's sort of a tradition. And I'm betting our guest today, Mad Dog and Merrill, will be out there grilling as well. Mad Dog and Merrill are better known. They're nationally recognized grillologists. They are the hosts of the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. And they have written several cookbooks together. They've got some spices that I like grandma's spice the best, I think, of it. I've used that the most, at least. And they're with us to talk about 4th of July grilling, and I hope you join in with your own experiences or maybe your own questions. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Mad Dog, are you there?
I certainly am, Larry. It's good to hear your beautiful voice.
And Merrill, I hope you're there.
Oh, of course I'm here. I wouldn't leave you. That's for sure.
Well, it's good to have you guys back. I expect you're going to be grilling. Are you going to be working, or are you going to do it for family and friends?
Family and friends here too.
Well,
yes, sir.
I tell you what, is there a single day in the whole year where more grilling is done than the 4th of July, do you think?
You know, it's just absolutely amazing, isn't it? And people are firing up the grill more and more, and there's so many different technologies and so many different grills on the market nowadays. And we've seen the evolution of the grill industry, haven't we, Merrill?
Well, we certainly have. I mean, we've came a long way, but it's amazing that when we first started, where it was just the charcoal grills, and now we've got the pellet grills. Obviously, you got the grill tops, you got the gas grills, you got the Komodo grills. It's just amazing how far we came along.
Yeah. What do you guys, what's your grill of choice when you're out there? Well, Merrill, start with you.
You know, I'm using them all. Even matter of fact, even tomorrow, we got the grandkids coming up. So seriously, I'm using the charcoal grill, I'm using the pellet grill, and I'm using the gas grill. I think I divide them up all pretty well evenly all the time.
Mad Dog, what about you?
You know something, I'm into the pellet grills. You know, for the television show, we use a lot of pellet grills, and the griddles are phenomenal. You know, those flat-top griddles, people refer to them as black stones, but, you know, there's so many different name brands on the market nowadays. So I do a lot of pellet cooking, and it's just amazing. The pellet grills are amazing. They're accurate. They're easy to use, almost foolproof. You know, they're great.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, that the temperature control on those is you can do that pretty fairly easily, right?
If Merrill can do it, you can do it, Larry.
You better believe it. Larry, you just push a button and you're all set. I mean, it's just amazing with the technology, but you know, you could go ahead and smoke at 180 degrees. You could cook up, you know, steak up to 160. I mean, up to 360, 600 degrees if you'd like. They've got a sear station where a flame comes up underneath where you can sear your steaks. It's phenomenal with the technology that they came with the pellet grills.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, I have two pretty large Weber's charcoal grills, and then I have one Cadillac of the gas grill Weber's. It's got so many burners, I hardly know what to do with all of them. And and I hooked that one right up to the house to the natural gas, so I didn't have to worry about tanks all the time.
Absolutely.
It's a nice way to go, and I only use the gas grills primarily for turkeys or large chickens or things like that, because I, frankly, for just cooking each night, I just kind of like to put some charcoal out there.
Well, it's amazing. We thought we'd lose, you know, how we're, you know, technology in the world and the younger generation. We thought we were going to lose a generation or two to grilling, that they wouldn't want to be in the outdoors. They wouldn't want to fire up a grill. But the great thing about it is there is technology involved with, I'm going to say, the pellet grill industry again. But the pellet grill industry, you know, they got an app on their phone. They got probes they can use. They got technology that way. So it's drawing the younger generation. We're talking the 25, 30, 40-year-old men and ladies that are firing up the grills. And they're smoking all the time because it's a pellet grill. It's a great. We really thought we were going to lose a generation of grillers, but we're gaining more and more. So it's wonderful.
So, when it's July 4th, you know, tomorrow, I tell you, I always fall back on it just because it just feels like 4th of July-ish to me, is to trying to make some cool hamburgers, and I'll fool around with hot dogs or brats just because it's the 4th of July.
Isn't that crazy? It's a tradition. It's like we always do red, white, and blue burgers. So we do tomatoes, white onions, and blue cheese. And it's just to us, that seems like the all-American burger, the red, white, and blue. So, and then we do, of course, our jalapeno poppers wrapped in bacon, and that always seems to be like a little firecracker because you got that little tail end like a fuse on the jalapeno. So it's like we call them firecrackers. That's as close as I get to lighting any firecrackers, let me tell you that, is eating a jalapeno popper too.
Right, especially at your age.
Especially at my age, you dang tootin'.
See, how's your TV show doing? Pretty well.
You know, it's going great. It's amazing how well it is. It really is. You know, we tape about 26 shows a year. Every show airs then twice because there's 52 weeks in the year. So they rotate quite a bit. And it's really great. You know, we have a piano man, Fast Freddy, on the keyboards that plays with us. And we're in like Baton Rouge, Louisiana, starts out this coming month. Kansas City, they're watching it down now this coming month. They're starting to watch Kansas City. It's in 35 states and 140 markets.
And man, from where you started... And you guys?
We're pushing 8-track tapes for commercials in the radio for you when we came down to Madison to be on with you.
oh my gosh! Well, I love the idea of the red, white, and blue burgers. When do you put the cheese on?
Right at the end, just for serving, and even the onions and tomato. You know, it's basically a nice hamburger served to everybody's perfection, whether it's 135 or 150 or something like that, you know, whether it's medium rare or well done. They get to that point, and then you top them. For that, you top them. You know, the cheese you don't want melting, and the onions, you know, you can put the onions on first after you flip the burgers, and then if people don't want real raw onions, they'll cook within a minute or two, you know, just sitting there on top of that hamburger that's hot.
Yeah, I think it's. And Marilyn, are you doing the same kind of thing?
Well, you know what, believe it or not, no. I got the grandkids coming over tomorrow, and it's sort of fun. They're excited. They're bringing their friends over, but we're doing actually what we call Merrill Sombreros. That's actually taking a flour tortilla shell, and on half of that shell, you fill it up with your sauce, your cheese, your onions. So each kid gets to make their own sombrero, and they make their own. We've got it set up. We've got the cheese. We got spinach out there. We got some peppers out there, onions. They make their own. They give it to me. I put them on the grill. I grill them about 2 or 3 minutes on each side. Then I cut them in half, and they're all happy campers.
Some people call them a quesadilla. We call them Merrill Sombreros.
Oh, man, I like that.
All the way.
You know, I spent a year at the University of the West Indies in Trinidad. So I lived in Trinidad, and that was just a long time ago now. And I had never eaten goat until I got there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I tell you, that's pretty much, you know, because in the islands there aren't that many cattle and so forth. So the primary meat was goat.
You know, we just got through cooking goat chops. We were at EAA, EAA Grounds in Oshkosh, filming a show, and we did goat chops, and they are the most delicious thing in the world. It's like bison or it's like venison. They're a dense protein, and if you overcook them, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So it's something you want to serve 135, 140. If you get to that 150 range and they're done, you know, they're it just loses its its edibility somewhat. You know, you just want them rare or on the or medium rare, but they're a delicious cut of meat. They're actually milder than lamb. There's a couple of great companies in Wisconsin that actually will ship anywhere in the United States for the goat.
Well, I got so that I really liked it, and I've kind of course you come back to the U.S. and you don't see it as much or at all.
Yeah, there's a company called Cylon. I pronounce it Ceylon. I don't know how they pronounce it, but it's over by La Crosse and Eau Claire and that neighborhood over there, that part of the state. But they'll ship anywhere in the United States, and we actually have a leg of goat that we'll be cooking in the next couple of weeks on television too. And there again, it's got to be 135, 140 degrees, or forget it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the same with venison. I mean, there's a lot of venison sitting in freezers that's probably been some of it thawing for tomorrow's grilling.
Exactly right, and the same principle applies. It's a beautiful cut of meat. It's very lean. It's very dense protein. Dense meaning there's not a lot of marbleization. Same with bison. Bison's really, really good for you. It's healthy, but it's one of those that you learn to cook it properly, and you don't change your way of doing it.
Is there any secret to getting the perfect burger on the grill? Now, I have undercooked and overcooked many in my days, but I've also gotten some pretty good ones, too. What's your secret on the perfect burger?
Mine, I definitely like doing mine, you know, direct, maybe a couple minutes on each side, then move it over to the side where there's no heat, and cook it to your desired deadness. You know, definitely use a meat thermometer. I know we've talked about this plenty of times, but definitely use a meat thermometer, and you'll get your proper doneness how you would like it.
I recommend to everybody, because we want to celebrate America, that Ben Franklin was right, and I did grilled turkey burgers last night.
Oh.
And then turkey should have been the national bird, and not the eagle. I love eagles, don't get me wrong. I won't say that. But turkey burgers, that's what Lori and I eat probably once a week. And the same principle, you know, I'll sear up a side, I'll flip them over, and as soon as I flip them over, I turn the heat out from underneath that burners, and I just slow cook them with the other side on, and it's more of a touch for me, and they stay moist. They're just the most gorgeous burgers in the world. You know, we'll top them up with different things. In fact, that's what we're actually doing tomorrow is turkey burgers again.
So but you're not going to throw ketchup on a turkey burger, are you?
No, it's a red, white, and blue. It's a red, white, and blue. No, you know what we do? We make homemade mac sauce.
Oh.
You know, I make that mac sauce with mayo and mustard and ketchup and pickle relish and a little dill relish and just a pinch of vinegar just for fun. Yeah.
Can't be hungry.
Yeah, man.
I haven't eaten yet. I'm hungry too. Mad Dog and Merrill, our guests today. They have appeared all over Wisconsin, and they've actually appeared around the country now with their TV show. It's been going great guns. Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. If you went online, plug that in, you're going to find the stations near you that are carrying it. Great to have them with us. Questions for them or maybe a grilling experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234 or email us. The email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking grilling with our guest, Mad Dog and Merrill. Join in. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. I wanted to bring up the question of what would I call it? Sanitation. You know, there are some guys, and I've been known to do it myself on occasion, when I go to my grill and I start the grill up and I might take my wire brush while the grill is on fire, the coals are on fire, and I will just rub that wire brush over the top of the
grates.
The grates. That's what I was trying to say.
Yep.
And then there are other people who will say, That is the most unhealthy thing you could possibly do. What are your thoughts on the grates and grilling with those?
Well, first of all, I think you really don't have to, obviously, if you've got a gas grill, you want to preheat that first, but really wouldn't recommend using the wire brush because the wire brush has got those little wires on there that could come across. So I like even using something like a scraper, or you could get different brushes out there in the market that do not use wire, but clean it off very well. That grill gets plenty hot. It's going to kill off the bacteria. That's how I look at it.
That's how I look
you know
at
what,
it,
you know, too. Wait, I look at it. I scrape the ever-living dickens out of it with that wire brush, but then I take a piece of wadded-up paper toweling, and I wipe it clean with a little oil as I'm doing it afterwards. And I feel I'm serving a purpose doing that, the oiling on top, plus I'm cleaning the grill with that. I use the wire brush, but I wipe it off is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I had somebody look really askance at me when they were over for a grilling one time. They said, "You mean you didn't wash the grate?"
I'll tell you, we run into a lot of people that do that. They'll constantly, they'll clean the grates every time that they're done and everything. But no, you're doing it the right way, Larry. You're doing fine.
Keith and Hilbert's got something for us. Hi, Keith.
Hi. Yes, I was listening. I'm in my car, and I live in Hilbert, like you said. Well, just south of there is Chilton. And there's just south of Chilton, there's like a creamery or a cheese plant that makes goat cheese. Well, the people who own that also supply their own milk for that and have their goats. And so they have a surplus of goats. So they also have a meat market right in, just outside of Chilton there that's what they specialize in goat meat. So
absolutely,
I don't remember the place.
Yeah, it's called LeClaire, I believe.
Right.
LeClaire Creamery.
Yep. Yep. And the same people own the meat market as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Larry and Claire just sold that to somebody or some company, but it's still the same goats and still everything else. But they just sold out after several years. They did a good job of we taped the television show there about 4 years ago with all goat cheeses, and just absolutely delicious.
Yeah. Keith, thank you for calling. I wasn't aware of it. Appreciate it. Dave in Minocqua will go to you. Hi, Dave.
Hello. I years ago picked up the notion that, or the information that when grilling, if you burn the fat like on a steak and you eat that, you're ingesting a cancer-causing agent. I used to like that as the best part of the steak, but I'm wondering about that question. I've always had that in my mind, and I'm asking the question about it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's such a debatable thing. You're burning the natural carcinogens, the natural sugars of the meat, and you don't hear about that so much anymore. So you wonder if that wasn't something that was just not necessarily fabricated, but just assumed. You know what I'm saying? Larry's still here, and look at all the meat that man's
burned. You know, it was a big thing about, 10 years ago, but don't hear that much people
ago.
Talk about that anymore, you know?
It's been more than 10, 20.
20-some years ago at least, yeah.
Oh, I forget how old I am, Larry.
Yeah. Well, as old as that leather jacket you wore.
Tim emailed to say he's planning to cook lake trout fillets on the grill this week. Any suggestions to do this or should he not use a charcoal grill?
No, that's great. Leave the skin on them. Lake trout, leave the skin on because that protects the meat product. And that's where the majority of the omegas, the good rich oils, lay. That's going to keep that meat moist. And it's just we use a coffee rub. Right out of the canister, the pre-perk grounds before you put it in the Mr. Coffee Maker. 2 scoops of coffee, 2 scoops of your master herbs and spices. And it's normally 2 scoops of brown sugar. But when you're doing salmon or lake trout, you double the brown sugar. So it'd be 4 scoops of brown sugar. Just a tad more sweetener and mix it all up. And that's a gorgeous rub for lake trout. You slap it skin side down and you don't have to turn it necessarily. It'll bake, grill up real nice. The skin gets more crispier, and then you just take a spatula and work between the meat and the skin. When it's done and when it's firm to the touch and, you know, the white little bubbles on top, that's the protein's being cooked and pushed to the top. It's perfect. Don't overcook it, that's for sure. When you start seeing firmness in the thickest part, that baby's done. And it's delicious on the grill. It really is. Maple glazes, barbecue sauce glazes, teriyaki glaze over the top of it. Whatever you want to do, it can host the flavor of anything.
So you get the skin away from the meat itself when you're taking it off the grill.
Correct, and that skin will stay right on the grates of the grill, and then you use your wire brush and scrape it off.
I like how you think. For sure. You know, you mentioned sauces and so forth. I was on to your online store. Man, I hadn't looked there for a while, but you have expanded you've got hot sauces and rubs and a lot of different things on that online
store. Barbecue sauces, yep. Grill cleaners. We got a grill cleaner now. Yeah. It really is, you know, and Meryl and I, it's in several stores. The spices are hard to get in any store. They really are. Spices are hard to get in stores. The barbecue sauces, we're in several of those. The best way to get those is online or, you know, go to the calendar of events on our website. Wherever Meryl and I usually are, we bring along sauces and spices ourselves to sell back because people are looking for them.
What about apple pie? I heard, I think Joel told me, Pat Nod told me this, that you make apple pie on the grill.
Just absolutely delicious. I use a pizza stone. Boy, if you don't have a pizza stone for pizzas and everything else and for biscuits on the grill and quesadillas are great. But I just go get a Pillsbury pizza crust, and I fold it out, and I just roll the edges up like you're rolling up just to have a little bubble on the edges just so you have a base, and literally take sliced apples and layer them over the top of that. I'll put melted butter and brown sugar together as a rule, cinnamon and nutmeg, and just drizzle it over the top. And all you simply do is heat up the pizza stone, slide that onto the pizza stone. You can even make it on the pizza stone and just wait a little bit longer to get it cooked. But it just cooks up in no time at all. Work a spatula underneath the pie crust every once in a while so that nothing's bubbling underneath the stick. And, I mean, I got it down to perfection. You just have to try it at home. You can use cherry pie filling. You can do all, you know, different types. I like to make homemade apples. But it's just absolutely delicious. And what better thing to do for the weekend than hot dogs, apple pie, and baked beans?
You know, that makes how long on the pie? How long is it going to be?
If your pizza stone's already pre-cooked and you're using that thin little crust, it takes a matter of 5 to 8 minutes, 10 minutes at the most. You know, it cooks up really, really fast. Now, if you turn the heat off after a while underneath it and leave a indirect type of thing, once a crust is crispy, then you can cook it till it's a little more bubbly and stuff like that. So I'm going to say 15 minutes or so. It doesn't take long. You're just cooking those little apples just barely through, and you got the butter and the brown sugar, cinnamon and nutmeg on there, maybe a little allspice.
Boy, that sounds good to me.
Boy, you can do it with just about, you can do a pecan pie, you can do a raisin pie, you can do just about anything. You know what I'm saying? Raisin pie, like I'm an old man.
Raisin pie.
Oh, boy.
It's not. Well, I haven't had a raisin pie in a long time.
It's not as current as it used to be.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, boy. No. Current raisins. No. All right.
You're
I got
exactly
it.
Right. Yeah.
So those jalapeno poppers, by the way, in our last 30 seconds or so, do you bread those peppers?
No.
You just throw them on the grill, don't you, with a wrapped around some bacon?
Absolutely right. Take a good paring knife and slice off one of the sides. You hollow out the seeds. If the in-laws are coming over, you can leave some seeds in there for them. But my favorite one is about two or three little strips of pepperoni, little round circles of pepperoni pushed inside that jalapeno, followed up by a couple of cheese curds, and then you mummify it in bacon.
Ooh.
And that's just as easy as it gets you. You can do the cream cheese mixtures and stuff like that, but they get awfully messy. But mozzarella, string cheese, or a couple of cheese curds pushed down in there with a base of a couple of little pepperoni rings, and then you mummify it and bake. And that's what I'm doing this weekend. That's what I'm doing for, not fourth, but on the weekend coming up after that.
Well, Mad Dog and Merrill, I want to thank you both very much for being with us today. It's always fun, and we got to have you back where we can spend some more time. Go take a look at Mad Dog and Merrill if you just type that in. Midwest Mad Dog and Merrill's grilling buddies, you're going to find them. Thanks to our whole staff here today. It's Jeff Robbins, Lee Rayburn, Clara Kniper, Joel Patnod, and Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller, wishing you on behalf of everybody a happy 4th, and stay with us. Lots in store.